Hi, Chris Voss here, CEO of the Black Swan Group. I'm here to talk to you today about the three negotiation mistakes that are hurting your deals. This is part of the Black Swan Method, and this is from a great article by Brandon Voss. The three negotiation mistakes that are hurting your deals are: number one, listening to respond versus listening to understand. Number two, using I understand. And number three, asking yes-oriented questions. Now let's dive in. Number one, listening to respond versus listening to understand. This is the big problem and where really all of your problems stem from. Most people don't listen at all. And if they do listen, they listen to just go, aha, or to contradict, or to jump back in, or to tell somebody why they're wrong. I'm sorry, this is self-centered stuff. To quote Gerard Nuremberg, a negotiation guy that I studied way back when I first started this journey, he said, listening is as much about sensing emotions as it is about hearing words. If you're listening to understand, you're sensing emotions. You're trying to figure out where they're coming from. You're taking the focus off you, and you're really putting your focus on them and their perspective and their facts and how they feel about their facts. What has affected them and what kind of reactions has that perception of those effects had on them? That's listening to understand. Now, number two, using I understand. Now, you might say this being very well-intentioned. You might say this because you're trying to express to the other person that you do understand. And this is a misinterpretation of the Covey advice from way back when, seek first to understand, then be understood. And a lot of people, in a very well-intentioned way, will say, I understand, as if it's going to make the other side feel better. Now, your intention is good, but your application is going to fall short. Never in the history of mankind has somebody said to another person, I understand, and stopped there, and had the other person say, oh, thank God, and instantly feel better. Your goal of trying to make them feel understood is the goal. Not that you understand, but that you make them feel understood. And unfortunately, saying, I understand, doesn't make anybody feel understood. As Brandon Voss has always said, if we could reach in your brain and take out the phrase, I understand, entirely, you'd probably be better off. The other problem with the application of this is that most of the time that people have heard this, somebody has said, I understand, but, and then told them why they were wrong. Well, this doesn't make anybody feel good. But is an erasing word. But erases the intention and the words of everything that came before it. So even if you meant to make them feel good, as soon as you said but, you wiped it out. Now, the second problem with I understand is a lot of people think, okay, so if I do understand, that means that I can tailor my message and it'll really hit home. So in a very well-intentioned fashion, you take as much time as you can beforehand to try to understand. You research them, you research their situation. You research everything you can about them. And then you think you do understand, and therefore you can talk and they can listen, and your talk is going to be that much more effective because you understood. Now, the goal is to make them feel understood, and the only way you can make them feel understood is to articulate, to express their perspective back to them and look for the words, that's right. That's right is what people say when they feel understood. And that's what you're going for. You're not going for your right, which is when you're pitching and they're just asking you to stop talking. You're going for that's right. Finally, number three. Asking yes-oriented questions. No. Now, I know you're probably doing this, and I know you're achieving some success with it. That's the problem. People achieve some success with this. We live in a Las Vegas world. The Black Swan Group and a Black Swan Method is to get you off of the gambling table where you win 10% of the time, which is probably what you do with yes-oriented questions, and move you onto the gambling table where you win 80% of the time. It's about increasing your percentages. There are those of you that are out there that say, I make deals or I come to agreement with yes-oriented questions. That's my data. Yes, you do. And you are not making as many deals as you could make. You could be asking yes-oriented questions of very respectful intention. You're just trying to respectfully confirm that something is true. And from a very early age, you were taught that when you heard the word no, there were problems. Because it's usually the first word that every kid learns. No. Why? Because every adult is pointing at them when they do something that they didn't mean to do but was wrong. An adult points at them and says, no. I mean, everybody's got stories about that. It was the first word their child heard. I don't understand why my kid says no all the time. Well, because you were pointing at them and saying no. So the experience of hearing no has been drilled into our head since we were toddlers that no meant bad. Well, if no is bad, yes must be good. Actually, that's the problem, because empathy is about the other side, how the other side feels. So while we were horrified when that adult pointed at us and said no, actually the adult felt good. The adult felt like they were giving direction, and it made them feel safe and protected. And this is one of the critical issues of why no is a great response, but also simultaneously, while we're horrified by it, we think yes is success. Therefore, no must be failure. Well, who says yes is success? As a matter of fact, there's three kinds of yeses: confirmation, commitment, and counterfeit. And so many people use yes confirmations to try to get people into yes commitment that they get really good at yes counterfeit. And also, everybody's been bashed by this. The entire world is yes battered. Everybody's been walked into a deal or some agreement somewhere at the early stage of their life by a series of yes-oriented questions, and suddenly they found themselves in the middle of something they didn't want to do. And they were scarred by it. They were battered by it. So what happens if you ask a respectful yes question to somebody who's already yes-battered? Well, what happens to an abused child when another adult, being very well-meaning and knowing that hugs are physically good for people, walks up to this abused child and raises their arms? Doesn't matter where your attention is, the child is still going to duck. They're still going to recoil. They're still going to pull back. And this is one of the insidious habits that a lot of people get into in a very well-intentioned fashion, that it is slow erosion and toxin on all their relationships. So to recap, number one, instead of listening to respond, listen to understand and work on sensing the emotions when you're understanding so that you do understand. Number two, instead of saying, I understand, demonstrate what you understand. Articulate it. Make them feel understood, especially with the emotions about their feelings that you sensed when you were listening. And number three, get out of yes-oriented questions entirely. Just stop doing it. Drive for that's right versus yes. Or even switch your yes-oriented questions around to no-oriented questions. Great example is, instead of saying, have you got a few minutes to talk? Ask, is now a bad time? Just to experiment with the conversation. Good luck implementing the Black Swan Method. And the more you prepare, the more you'll be ready for the next life-changing deal. It falls out of the sky.